Christmas message is next Sunday. So today we're going to continue. If you're visiting with us, we're teaching out of the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to continue this morning. We're going to be in chapter 5, and we're going to cover 11 verses, if you would care to turn there with me. Remember that the church at Thessalonica was the model church, and Paul the Apostle, when he founded that church, remember, he only taught there for about 3 Sabbaths or less than a month, but man, he taught them the major doctrines of the faith. And here's what I want us to remember this morning, as this is kind of a pre-Christmas message. Next week is of course, Christmas message here at Calvary. And one thing you're going to notice this morning that's going to be absent from their vocabulary, and they're not going to say Merry Christmas. They're not going to say, let's go buy a Christmas tree. They're not going to be saying, let's sing some Christmas carols, because that wasn't there. Amen. Come on, it's okay. Second service, you can be wild. I don't care. The first service is, they're not like y'all. And there was no ho ho ho. Okay. Now, with all that being said, they did have something that is desperately needed today. They did not have Christmas presents, but they had Christ. His presence. Amen. And that's what we need all the days of our life. So here we are. They were enduring severe persecution. And listen, they were baby Christians. And they were on fire for the Lord, their labor of love. They were working for the Lord. They were waiting to be called up for Jesus to return any day, any time, just like we are as well. And they had no New Testament. And yet these baby Christians, taught 3 weeks by Paul the Apostle, they turned what is now modern day Greece, they turned it upside down for Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need to do the same. Now listen, these 11 verses, this is a great, if you ever needed a present from God, listen to these 11 verses this morning. This is like a pre-Christmas message that we have. And I want us to begin, and this is the one I want you to focus on after the service, okay? And that's verse 11. Look at it carefully with me. He says, therefore, comfort each other and edify or build up each other or one another, just as you also are doing. Now listen. Isn't it amazing? We're getting ready to cover the 11 verses that speak about the great tribulation period, the wrath of God, and the time of Jacob's trouble, if you will. You know, prophecy, the future prophecy, the things that are coming on this planet are neglected by many in the corporate church today. Not beating anybody up for that, but I'm saying we teach the whole Bible, and we believe that Jesus could take us away at any time. And after that moment, the moment that the church is caught up, we covered that last Sunday, remember? Something happens on this planet. It's called the Great Tribulation Period. It's not a 24-hour day, but it is a 7-year period of time called the Day of the Lord, and it is going to be when the church is removed, the bride of Christ. When we're removed from this planet, it's going to be the worst nightmare that this world has ever faced. The one who we're about to celebrate again this Christmas, the one who was born in a manger, or really the manger is a feed trough, okay? Remember what he said? Jesus said this in Matthew 24:21 about the day that we're about to study, the day of the Lord. He says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor even ever shall be. Now listen, we're still in a pandemic. Put every pandemic that has ever occurred on this planet globally. Include every war globally that has been fought since the beginning of time. Throw in every natural disaster, every earthquake, all those things since the beginning of this world, and combine that with the wrath of God against sin and the unholy rage of the devil, and with fallen humanity after the church is gone, and the Holy Spirit is not holding back evil. what a day that's going to be. You put all of that together at one time, and listen carefully, loved one, that will not equal the horror that is going to come upon this planet after the church is removed. Jesus said this. In Luke 21:26, Jesus said, in that day, men's hearts failing them from fear. And listen, why? For the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, and the powers of the heaven are shaking. This morning, I want to talk to you about encouraging one another, edifying one another. If you are a believer, that's what we're to do, because we're not going to go through these things. Do you understand? And that's good news to me. Matter of fact, that's the best Christmas message I've heard, except for Christ being born. Amen? Now, look with me this morning, beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to have to probably give you guys a second service, a shorter version of this sermon because of all the programs we've had this morning. So you can always tune in to the early service, and you'll get the full thing if the Lord makes me do that. Let's see. Beginning in verse 1. And he might want us to miss the Cowboy game, see? So, yeah, I just felt that came from heaven. I don't know. Let's look at verse 1 together. It says, but concerning the times. Now, we just left off with the rapture last Sunday, okay? So now Paul's moving to another subject. He's moving to the day of the Lord. That's why he says, but. He says, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. And the reason that Paul says I don't need to explain it again is because Paul had already taught them, remember, about the major doctrines of the faith, the rapture, the second coming of Christ, and so forth. So here he starts a new subject, the day of the Lord. Now listen, the moment that Jesus comes and removes the church, we meet him up in the air. As we learned last week, we go home to be in heaven with him forever. The moment that happens, then the great tribulation period, the 7 years of Daniel, if you will, or the last year of Daniel, is going to begin. But what I want you to catch on this verse here is that Paul uses times and seasons. Times and seasons belong only to God. Amen. And to no one else. God is the God of history. It is his story. Amen? So those words are very, very important. As a matter of fact, times and seasons are only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. Remember Jesus after his resurrection and right before his ascension as he led the disciples out to Mount Olivet and before he was taken up. They asked him, said, Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom? In other words, when is Israel going to rule the world? When are you going to bring your kingdom here? And Jesus said in Acts 1:7, it is not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has put in his own authority. So all those things belong to the Lord. And the word times there is very important. It's chronos in the Greek. We get our word chronology, but that's speaking of the duration or a measure of the duration of the time. And seasons is keros in the Greek, and that word simply means this, the characteristic of what's going to be happening in that duration of time, speaking of the great tribulation period and the second coming of Christ Jesus our Lord. The church has nothing to do with times and seasons. They don't belong to us. There's 3 times it's mentioned. It belongs to Israel, and it belongs also to the nations that are left behind after the rapture of the church. The church is not looking for times and seasons. We're looking for Jesus. Amen? He could come at any time. Now, it says, so, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need to write to you. Again, he's already taught them. For you yourselves know accurately or perfectly that the what?
The day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord so comes. That's present tense, futuristic, if you will. So comes as a thief in the night. So Paul is not informing them. He's exhorting. They already know. He says, listen, you know what's getting ready to happen one day, and when it does, you live in that expectation. You're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, those baby Christians in Thessalonica knew actually more than the majority of the church knows today about prophecy. a lot of people, and I say this lovingly, there's always differences in the body of Christ. And you know, the fact is not all believe that we're going to be raptured anytime. It's going to be at the very end of the age. Well, I believe it could happen. The Bible teaches at any moment. Matter of fact, we could be out of here before the Cowboys kick off.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know why I say that. Now, so he's informing them. So the day of the Lord is the day that the grace of God, even though there's grace in the tribulation period, of course, people will be saved. But he's going to judge the world. There's no way around it, guys. And listen, the Lord comes and it tells us how. He says, as a thief in the night. That's not for the rapture. The thief in the night is not the rapture. It's the day of the Lord, loved one. And so the thief of the night, the day of the Lord, how does it come? It comes suddenly. It comes unexpectedly. I mean, there it is. It just happens. And I don't know if you know anything about thieves. They don't warn you before they rob you. You know what I mean? They don't send a postcard in the mail, 7 p.m., be there, be square, whatever. You know, no, they don't do that. They know, and they catch you off guard. You're not looking for a thief. The night my house was robbed so many months ago when those two guys broke in and stole, man, listen, I didn't know I heard a noise, but I thought it was maybe my wife snoring. I didn't know what it was. I'm in trouble. You know, but so I said, and there they were ripping us off. I didn't know why. I didn't believe it was going to happen, but they sure did. You watch something like that on your camera after it happens, it really kind of messes with you, you know. Yeah. Unexpected, unguarded. That's what he says. Jesus told us this in Luke 29:39. He says, know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have allowed the house to be broken into. That's wisdom. And then Jesus says this, therefore you also be ready. You be ready. You be watching, for you do not know the hour that the Lord is coming. And he could come at any moment. So the day of the Lord, not the rapture. Now the rapture is suddenly, instantly, twinkling of an eye. We're called up to be with him. But this day of the Lord, it comes suddenly, not upon the church. It comes upon the world that is totally caught off guard and so forth after the church is removed. That is when what we call the great tribulation period, those 7 years, that's when it begins. It is a day of God's wrath on this planet. Let me read a few scriptures from the prophets. And I read them with sadness, loved one. He says in Jeremiah prophesied, he said this in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, alas, talking about the day of the Lord, that day is great. That word great in Hebrew means it's unique. And that's why Jeremiah continues, he says, so there is none like it. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 13, 11, God says this, I will punish the world for its evil. Amos 5:20 prophesied, and he says about the world, he says, the day of the Lord, it's a day of darkness. Let me read it to you. Is not the day of the Lord darkness? It's not light, and it's not very dark. Oh, no, there is no brightness in it. If you study out the book of Revelation on the bowl judgments, the fifth judgment or the fifth bowl judgment, let me read Revelation 16:10. It says, then the fifth angel poured out the bowl on the throne of the beast, which is the Antichrist. His kingdom became full of darkness. That literally is a darkness that you could feel it, okay? And he said, and they gnawed their tongues. In the Greek, it would be they kept gnawing their tongues. And then it says the reason is because of their pain. But they only stopped gnawing their tongues for one thing, and here's what they did and what they said. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain, their sores, but they refused to repent of their deeds. At the end of the age, when the great tribulation happens, the earth is going to be in total blackout. It says in Amos 8:9, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon. I will darken the earth, not part of the earth, global. I will darken the earth in broad daylight. The earth, think about it, total darkness before the second coming of Christ. The Bible says in Revelation 6:17, the great day of his wrath, meaning God's wrath, has come. Who's able to stand? The answer, no one. That is the fate of those who are left behind on this planet when the church is removed. That's what they're going to face. And I would be amiss if I didn't add to that from the Bible. And I don't have time to give you 10,000 scriptures, but I want you to listen to me. Last night on the news, the newscaster describing the horrific events of that tornadic activity, he called it the apocalypse. And I respect what he said. And I'm sure that everyone who's ever been in a tornado like that would call it the end of time. Amen? But loved one, listen, that's only local. Horrible, sad, heartbreaking, but it's only local. The great tribulation is global. You can take every hurricane, every typhoon, every tornado that has ever existed on this planet, put it all into one. It'll not equal what's going to happen when the church is removed. Let me just give you a few of the things from the book of Revelation that's going to happen. You ready? It's going to be global, not local. There's going to be a global famine, global pestilence. Well, you know, like, in other words, pandemics. We're going to have global hunger, a global earthquake, one earthquake is going to shake the entire world. Listen to me. And the Bible says it's going to move the earth, whatever that means, out of its place. Stars are going to fall from heaven like figs. Think about that, the stars, the constellations. It says that the sun is going to be scorching man, that the fresh water systems of the earth are going to turn to blood, that the oceans are going to turn to blood, that there's going to be 100-pound hailstones mingled with fire falling upon this planet. Are you ready to get out of here? It says here that the sun is going to become black, and the moon is going to become like blood. That's that total blackout. Now listen to me. If you read the book of Revelation, if you believe the Bible, our planet is going to become unrecognizable. Did you know all the green grass is going to be gone? The shade tree will be gone. There's no sunset, no sunrise. Even the wind is going to stop blowing. That's what's going to happen in the great tribulation period. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a flash of lightning from east unto the west, and the heavens are going to roll back like a scroll. And guess who's going to show up? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Pharisee, our Lord, amen. That's what you call the second coming of Christ. It says, and the Son of God, he will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, not the church, the tribes, the people that don't know Jesus. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What a day that is going to be. Now listen, when we are gone, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are saved, when we are gone, loved one, what will the people say? I mean, will they be saying, thank God, you know, you know? What are they going to say when we're not here? They're going to try to figure it all out. No, you know what they're going to be saying? Let me read it to you. Look at it. Verse 3, for when they, now that's a personal pronoun. That doesn't mean us. Look at our pronouns here. That's them, not you, not the church. For when they say, two words, what are they? Peace and safety. Okay. Then sudden destruction comes upon them, meaning those left behind after the church is removed from this planet. And it says, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and look at this last part, and they shall not what? Escape. They shall not escape. If you read that in the Greek, it's a double negative. It means they will never, no, never, there is no possibility of those that are left behind escaping from what's coming. Destruction says it's going to come suddenly. And then it uses also the words of a woman, like when a woman has labor pain, she's about to deliver. In other words, here you are, you're pregnant, you know you're going to deliver, but you don't know when. It's unpredictable. And then all of a sudden, ooh, it's time. That's exactly what's coming. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to say, the world, we're gone. They're going to say, oh, peace and safety. Listen to me now. Loved one, the earth, the people on this planet, they are being groomed right now for this very moment. There is a counterfeit Messiah, the Bible teaches in the book of Revelation and other places as well. The Antichrist, a counterfeit Messiah, he's coming. And you know what? The world, they're going to look at him and they're going to say, man, he's a man of vision. He's got it. He knows what we need. You know, he's going to come, the Bible says, as a man of peace. As a man of peace. He's coming. Revelation 6 teaches he's coming and he won't shed any blood. That's the beginning of sorrows. That's when the church is gone. And loved one, listen, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do what no other person has ever done. He's going to unite this world militarily, religiously, politically, and economically. World peace. Man, we're all together. We're all one. We're just a one world government now. And oh, we're at peace. But here's the problem. Peace and safety are going to be so short-lived. Let me read it to you. Revelation 6, 4. It says, and another horse, a fiery horse, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat upon it. That's not Jesus. That's the Antichrist, okay? Listen, it was granted to him. We're going to let you have this. And it says, to take peace from the earth. Think about it. The entire earth, there's no peace. And you know what's going to happen? Let me read it to you. Not my words, God's words. And that the people should kill one another, or literally violently slaughter one another. And there was given him a great sword. Daniel 8:25 says this about this false peace and this false security. He will use that false peace, the Antichrist that's coming after the rapture of the church, to destroy people, especially the Jews. Listen, the devil, he doesn't want to destroy mankind. Still kill, destroy, yes. But listen to me. He wants to exterminate the Jewish race, okay? He wants mankind to worship him. That's what he wants. Oh, listen, the things that this wicked one, the son of perdition, is going to do. And you know what? Here's what's so sad. Read the book of Revelation. This is not me. The world is going to love him. The world is going to go after him. The world is going to follow him. They're going to say, oh, who is like unto the beast? And you know what? That's what they're going to do. And they're going to see him as a great man. But God, Revelation 13, doesn't see him as a man, but as a wild beast, the Antichrist that's coming. And you already know that in the middle of the tribulation period, he's going to do what no man has ever, never done. And what our government is trying to do today, at the beginning of the tribulation period, in this false peace that's happening, he's going to sign a covenant with the nation of Israel. He's going to allow Israel to rebuild the temple. And guess what? In the middle of the tribulation period, 3.5 years, what is he going to set in the temple in Jerusalem? He's going to set his own image, and that the whole world must worship the image of the beast. They must receive a mark upon their hand or their forehead. That's what the Bible teaches, loved one. And here's the deal. Just like today, here is a man that is coming. He has all the right answers, and man, everybody is on board. But the problem is all of his answers are not from God. They're from him. And you know what? The world today that we live in, they're not looking for answers from God. They're not looking for divine truth. They're looking for relief upon a planet that is falling apart. Listen, and look at verse 4 quickly. I don't have much time, only an hour. I'm teasing. Verse 4. This is a promise. I have to go quickly. He says, but you, that's you, not them, okay? Brethren, you're not in darkness. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good we have the word of God? We're not in darkness. He says, for this day, capital D, should what? Overtake you or catch you by surprise. Why? Or as a thief. Why? Look at it. If you're a born-again believer, you're all sons of light. You're sons of the day. You're not of night. You're not of darkness. Listen, we're not in Adam. We're in Christ. We're not dwelling in darkness. We're dwelling in light. We have the word of God, and we're the light of the world because he's the light of the world. Amen? We're a city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hidden because we belong to God. Ephesians 5:8 says, before we were saved, we were once in darkness, but man, we aren't anymore. That word, that capital D, it says we will not be overtaken, will not be at that specific time. We're not in the dark. Do you know why we're not in the dark and why the day of the Lord will not overtake us? we're not here. We're gone. We're home. We're caught up in the air. The last trump, amen? We're with the Lord. We're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. Listen, the lost people, you know, Jesus is our door. We walked into, and he saved us. But here's the problem. The world that we live in, every day they open the door a little bit more for the wicked one, a little bit more as a thief to come in and rob and steal. First John, 5:18, it says, we know that we are of God. Verse 19, and the whole world lies under the sway, the cradle, in his arms of the wicked one, the devil. Man, what a day that we are living in right this minute. And look what he says, therefore let us not sleep as others do, meaning the lost, those that don't know Christ, but let us watch. Everyone say watch. Watch. What does that mean? It means to be alert, to stay awake, to be on guard. We're not only to watch, we're to do something else. Be sober. That means to be alert, be stable at all times. Live in expectation. For those, not the believer, the lost, for those who sleep, they sleep at night. What does that mean? We all sleep at night. It means that they're in darkness. They're not aware of the things that are coming upon this planet. And those, again, not us, those who get drunk are drunk at night. Now listen, not everybody in the world gets drunk at night. You know what I'm saying? Do they? No. So what is Paul saying? He's not talking about alcohol. He's not talking about being intoxicated. He's talking about being intoxicated with the love of the world, with loving the things of the world, which are not of the Father. Amen? And all those things, God says in his word, those things are going to pass away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. But here's what I want you to see, loved one, is this. We learned last Sunday about that word sleep, about those who, and so forth. The word sleep here differs from the word sleep in chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, okay? That word there speaks of the Christian, you're asleep, meaning your body has gone into the grave, your spirit has gone to be with the Lord, amen? Amen. Okay, but this word here, sleep, is different from the word in chapter 4, 13 through 15, okay? This word here means spiritual lethargy or apathy or indifference, speaking of the condition of those that don't know Christ. Now, Jesus told us, man, we need to be watched. We need to watch. In Mark's gospel, he says, and don't you be sleeping. In other words, you need to be alert. You need to be on guard because I'm coming back, he said. Now listen, the Bible teaches us that we need to awake out of sleep. In Romans, I don't have time to get into Romans, but in Romans 13:11 and following, it says, it is high time for us to awake out of sleep. That phrase, awake out of sleep, literally means that someone is unconscious. They're inactive. They don't even know what God is doing. And let's pray that's not the church. We need to know what the Lord is up to, and we have his word. Amen? Now, with all that being said, Jesus told us in Matthew's gospel, he says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For they'll be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and so forth. And that's what happened. And all of a sudden, what did the Lord do in the days of Noah? 8 people got into the ark. And it says that God shut the door and God sealed them in. And it says this, it says they did not know what was going on until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know they were asleep until the flood came upon them suddenly and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Listen to me. Noah, 8 people were saved. 120 years to build the ark. He was a preacher of righteousness. 1 man believed God, and the whole world mocked Noah. And Noah proved the whole world wrong. That's faith. And that's what Noah did. Now, when we look at all of this, it says, now look at it, verse 8, quickly, but let us who are of the day, in other words, Christians, be sober. In other words, awake, alert, and protecting ourselves. And look how we're to do it. By putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's not hoping to be saved. We're already saved. Amen? Talking about what we're not going to go through the wrath of God, that we're going to be taken out of here. Listen, we are sons of light, daughters of light, and so forth. Put on that armor. Faith and love, they protect the heart. It's a breastplate. Faith is our conduct, our attitude toward God. The Bible says in Romans 1:17 that the just should live by faith. Also, Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. Amen?
Amen.
And then we put on love. That's our attitude toward one another. Remember one of our commandments, a visual commandment for this church, vision commandments, is the new commandment, John 13:34-35, that we're to love one another to the same degree that Jesus loved us, having that fervent love one for another. And then it says also the helmet of hope. Listen, what does a helmet protect? Your mind. Listen, here's the deal. Hope is the guardian of our minds. Now listen, the word hope is not, I hope so. It is certain. That's Bible hope is, I know God is, he's a God who cannot lie. So we have a certain hope, and we're looking for the blessed hope, amen? And not only that, we're not seeking things below on this stinking planet. No, we're setting our minds on things which are above. Now, look at verse 9. Man, for God did, what's that next word? Oh, please remember that. I'm going to come back to it. For God did not appoint us. He did not destine us to wrath. His wrath? No, he didn't do that. But look at our destiny. But to obtain what? Salvation, not wrath. We're rescued from the wrath, man. And how are we rescued? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible says that God, Ephesians 1:4, God chose us in him, in Jesus, before the what? Oh, you're a well-taught church. Before the foundation of this earth, before this earth was ever created, God chose you. Listen, God did not select you to condemn you and send you through the wrath. Do you understand? That's just crazy. Listen, the rapture removes us from the wrath to come. Enoch, the first one that was translated, he walked with God and he was not, why? God took him. He took him up into heaven alive. Think about that. He never saw death. But Enoch was removed from what? What was coming in Noah's day? What was coming in Noah's day? The entire destruction of this planet. Amen? Now, Noah, did Noah go through the judgment of God? No, they built an ark. They got inside that ark and they went above the judgment of God and they went from an old world over into the new world. Amen? How about Lot? He was a character. Abraham and Lot. Remember what Lot did? He lifted up his eyes and because they had so many herds, you know, cows and pigs and whatever, not pigs, they're Jews, sorry. And so there were so many, they had to divide. Yeah. Abraham said, well, look up, what do you want? So it says that Lot lifted up his eyes. He set it on the plain. Boy, he said, oh, it looks like it's well watered. It looks like Eden. Oh, it's going to be great. But it was Sodom. Yeah. Abraham went the other way. Yeah. So Lot pitched his tent in the most wicked city on earth, Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? Question now. When did God rain fire and brimstone and destroy Sodom? Yes. Did he warn them? Yes. Did Lot leave on his own accord? No.
No,
he's a Democrat. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. You know I'm joking. I'm teasing you. That was not from heaven. Okay. No. Now, where was I? Oh, he didn't leave on his own accord. He wanted to stay. Remember, what happened to her? She looked back, turned a pillar of salt. She loved the world. She loved Sodom. It took angels to get Lot out of Sodom. But did Lot, who he did love the Lord, he did love the Lord. Did they save him? Was he removed? Yes. Okay. How many more examples do we need in the Word of God? The church, We're not to go through the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation. We're going to be removed as well. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Now, remember the word not in verse 9? If you looked up that word not in the Greek, okay, it's emphatic. It's emphatic in the Greek language in our text here, and it literally means this. It means that we will not go through the tribulation, but literally not any part of the tribulation period. We'll totally be removed from that. Now, with all that being said, why are we not going to experience the wrath of God? And why are we going to be caught up to be with the Lord? Verse 10, look at it. Jesus, what did he do? He died for us. Whether we wake, whether we sleep, we should live together with him. I have to take just 2 minutes. This is so important. This verse is vital, loved one, because right here, look at it. Paul said, wake or sleep, we're going to live together with him. What did Paul mean about whether we wake or sleep? Did he mean whether we are alive or dead? Well, we know that's true, okay? But did he mean that? Or did he mean spiritually alert or spiritually lethargic? And you say, well, Bill, why do you say that? Because Paul used the same words in verse 6 as he is using here. He's not using any of those other words, loved one. They're identical to verse 6. So is Paul saying whether we are alert or watchful or not, we're still going to make it? We're going to live together with Christ? We're still going to be raptured out of here? We're going to escape God's wrath? Is that what he's saying? Question. Chapter 4, verse 17, talking about the rapture of the church. Did you find a qualification there to be raptured? I don't find any. And not only that, loved one, does being caught up, as many people teach, you know, if you're not doing this, you're going to stay behind. Okay, wait a minute. Do we find anywhere about being caught up? Does it depend on any good work? Does it depend upon any achievement in our life? Absolutely not. What's the answer then? It says Jesus who died for us. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and only in Christ alone, and everything depends upon Jesus our Lord. He died for us. He paid our sin debt. Amen? Amen. Yes, right. Thank you. No, I can't. I only have 2 minutes. Are there any perfect believers? No, just look at us. But there's a perfect Savior who imputed into our account his perfect, sinless, spotless record, and also God who says that we stand 24/7 in his unmerited, unconditional, unearned grace of God. Listen, I say, dear Lord, I'm going to tell you something. If our being caught up into heaven depended on our perfection, you better get ready to go through the great trib. You'll be eating dog meat, man. That's how bad it's going to be. No, we're not going to go through that at all. Listen, you know why? Because the rapture and escaping the wrath of God depends on one person. One person, the one who died for me, the one who died for you, who rose from the dead for us, who is ascended at the right hand of God, and who is going to come, and he may come today. And I'll say, yes, praise the Lord to that. Listen, the Bible says this, are we completely forgiven?
Yes.
Are we completely sealed?
Yes.
Are we completely complete in him?
Yes.
Are we completely accepted in God?
Yes.
And Jesus, because God said
yes.
We are, completely accepted. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6 that we right now, our spiritual position, if you are born again, you are seated right now, seated with Christ together in the heavenlies. Right now. That is our spiritual position. Listen now. 1 John 4:17, talking about Jesus as he is right now, present tense. Where is Jesus? Right hand of God, all power, all authority. As he is, listen, you ready for this? So are we in this world right now. Do you think we're going to go through the wrath of God? No, man, we've escaped the wrath of God. How many scriptures did I give you last Sunday about that? Let me give them to you again. First Thessalonians 1:10. I'm in a hurry. Not only Romans 5:9, and what else? 1 Thessalonians 5:9. I mean, how many more scriptures, loved one, do we need? 2 minutes. I'm serious this time. Once we are caught up into the air and we go to the Father's house, we go home. We go to the home prepared. Okay? What's the next thing that happens? No, that's marriage supper's on down the line. What's the next thing that happens? What? No, the Bema seat. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all, each one of us, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ. Amen? Oh, that's what's going to happen, loved one. And you know what? It says, and each one will receive the things done in his body, whether good or bad. And bad doesn't mean bad. It means worthless. If worthless things are going to be burned up, right? In other words, it's a place of rewards. It's not. We're not going there to be judged for our sins. Jesus was judged for our sins. Do you understand? Oh, man, I'm telling you, I look at that and say, oh, Lord, this is so wonderful. This is going to be about our works, what we did for him. If you're born again, you're a steward of God. He's given you gifts. He's given you responsibilities. You have a stewardship, and we're going to be judged for that. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're the light of the world. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to be, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you tell that person, you're fishers of men. What happened to you? Why'd you quit fishing? But thank God, not our sin. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's wrap this up now. Here's the good news. Look at verse 11. In light of all that we've learned that's coming on this planet, we know we're not going to suffer the wrath of God. We know we're going to be raptured out of here. We're not going to go through the great tribulation. Therefore, verse 11, what are we to do? There we go. These are two imperatives in the Greek, meaning there's two commands. Comfort or encourage each other. And edify one another just as you are also doing. Man, listen, we need to be the greatest encouragers in the world, amen? And we need to build one another up. Yes. That's what that word means. Build each other up. Don't put people down. Don't put your brother down. Listen, we all have problems. No, build each other up. Amen. And the way that you do that is love them. You don't know the person sitting beside you right now. They may be shouting. They may be smiling. They might have lifted their hands in worship, but inside they're saying, today I want to go home and I want to take my life. Yes. I've seen it so often. Oh, listen, how God loves us. We need to be for each other. We need to have fervent love for one another, tender-hearted, being kind to one another as Christ, and forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Listen, if love is the key. Love never fails, loved one. You know, the moment that the church, and I am closing, I swear. No, I don't swear. I've got a lot of repenting to do now from what I said today. The moment that the church, we were moved. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord, you that are listening live right now, you that are listening on the radio, listen to me now. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and the church is taken away, you're going to be left behind. You're going to be left behind, and there's no escape for the things that are coming upon this planet. Remember what the Bible says in John 3:16? It says, for God so, not just loved, so loved the world that he did something, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not, verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Through him. Oh, listen, the Bible says that, you know what? That he who believes in God has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in God, Jesus, does not have life or will not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. If you don't know the Lord, listen to me now. Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, he says this. He says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. If you're not in Christ, you cannot be ready. Yes. And the only way to be ready is to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Meaning, say, you have to be saved. You can't, it's not about joining a church. You can't join the church. You have to be born again into, you understand? Then you're part of the body of Christ. Yes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Listen, every Christian praying, those that are listening live, you that are here, listen to me now. If Jesus is not your Lord, I love you. I'm not trying to beat on you. I'm just saying, listen, I'm telling you what, this world is not going to make it. If Jesus is not your Lord, he can be. He can be your Lord right now. You don't have to come to this altar. You don't have to come down here at all. You stay right where you are, but you have to do one thing. You have to lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. You lift it high and say, pray for me. I want to be a Christian. I want Christ to be my Lord. I want to be saved. Just all you have to do is lift it high and put it right back down. If that's you, quickly. Just like in the early service, people saved. Oh, please. I no pressure from me, but if you feel a tug on your heart, I ask you in Christ's name, please open it now. Last call. I'll not ask again. Either raise it or not at all. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that I pray and believe everyone is saved, but those that are listening live, listen to me. You ask Christ right now. Say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I believe in you. Forgive me of my sins and save me in Jesus' name. You pray that prayer and God will save you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Christmas program. We thank you, Lord, that we know the end, the events of the end days, that we're not in the dark, that we're walking in the light. And Lord, we're going to encourage one another. We're going to build each other up. We're not going to beat each other down. And we give you praise as we open today the Christmas season in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? I pray, listen, if you're visiting,